Today's Shi'as Masecht Yuma Daf Mem Zayin. We will be, Ezra Hashem's Baruch, begin the new Perek. We had learned in our previous Perek that the Kohen Gadol, as he begins to do the very important Avodah of Yom Kippur, of bringing the Ketores on the Mizbeach, and into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we learned he took a machter, he took a shovel full of coals from the Mizbeach Hachitzen. He left it on the fourth step in the Azorah. We will ultimately take it to Kodesh HaKadoshim. Our Mishnah now begins to continue discussing what they did in the Avodah of the Ketores. Says the Mishnah, Yitziu Loi, they prepared for the Kohen Gadol as a kaf, as a machter, the shovel that we just discussed. And as a kaf is a spoon that they use for the Ketores. And says the Mishnah, Chofon Meloi Chofnav, the Kohen Gadol filled up his palms with Ketores, for Nosan L'Tocha Kaf, and he put that Ketores, that he put that into his, and he put the Ketores into that Kaf. HaGadol, Lufi Gadloi, says the Mishnah, the amount of Ketores used depended on the size of the Kohen's hands. HaGadol, Lufi Gadloi, a larger Kohen had more Ketores. HaKotn Lufi Kotnoi, and a smaller Kohen would have less Ketores. V'kach Chayus HaMidasai, the Gemara will explain what this line means in Mitzvah Shem. Notel Samachta B'yad Yaminai, he took the Machta in his right hand, Vasakaf, and he took the spoon, B'yad Smoilai, and then he continues doing the Avodah. Ask the Gemara, Machta, is the Mishnah said, Hatzilai Kaf HaMachta, that they took out from where they kept the Kalim, the Kaf HaMachta, for him to be able to do the Avodah. Ask the Gemara, is this the point where this was done? Tanilei, we already learned in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel on Beis that Notel Samachta, that the Kohen Gadol took the Machta which was prepared for him, V'ala L'Rosh Mizbeach, and he went to the Mizbeach, V'chayta V'yayrit, and he took coals in order to go down and ultimately be able to do the Avodah. So here it seems that he's just getting the Machta. And we already learned in a previous Mishnah that he received the machta. He already has taken that machta to the mizbeach to take the coals. Answers the Gemara, Hosom machta the gecholim. The Mishnah that we learned on Daf Mem Gimel was speaking about the machta which was used for the gecholim, which we indeed discussed what was done with that machta. For Hachan, our Mishnah is referring to the machta the ketores. The Tanya, Hatzilai Kefreika Milashkas HaKelim, they took out for the Kohen Gadol an empty kaf from the Lishkas HaKelim where they kept all the various instruments and vessels that they needed in the Beis HaMikdash. Umakta Shkedush HaKetores, Milashkas Beis HaFtinas. Beis HaFtinas, we know, were the individuals who prepared the Ketores, and they prepared for him a Makta full of Ketores for him to be able to do Chafina, which means taking the spoonful into the, ultimately, and pouring it into the kaf. So we see from here that our Mishnah seems to be teaching that they used a machta for the ketores. On the other hand, it seems usually that the ketores were put directly on the mizbeach apnimi. So the Tosfos Shonim differentiates between Yom Kippur and the rest of the year. The rest of the year, where the Ketores was offered on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, so there was no Machta. It was just put directly on the Mizbeach. But on Yom Kippur, says the Tosfos Shonim, where it wasn't done on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, as we know, it was done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, under those circumstances, the Ketores was in a Machta. So we learned further in the Mishnah, Chofam Malai Chofnov, he filled up his palms, V'nosan L'Tocha Kaf, and then he put that Ketores into the spoon, HaGadol Lufi Gadloi, V'Katon Lufi Katon, V'Kaf Ha'isu Midasai. Ask the Gemara, Kaf Yom Kippur Lamali, why do they need a spoon in which to deposit the Ketores in Yom Kippur? Doesn't the Torah say, V'lokach m'loi chofnav k'toyres samim daka v'evim bois l'parayichus amarachmona. So the Torah says that it should be brought in his hands. How come over here it seems that it's brought in the spoon? Answers the Gemara, m'shum d'loi efshar. There is no other option than to bring the skaf and put the k'toyres after the Kohen Gadol filled up his palms with the k'toyres. There is no other option but to deposit it into the kaf. Deichen eved. What is the other option? Ne'ayil, that he should first go in with the gecholim, with a machta full of gecholim. V'hod ne'ayil, and then he should go in the second time with the k'toyres in his hands. That isn't an option into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Says the Gemara, that isn't a good option, because Avo Achsam Rachman of Loishtei Avos. The Torah says that the Kohen Gadol may enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim once, not twice. Nishkele l'k'toyres b'chofnov. So what is the other option? He should carry the k'toyres in his palms, nachte l'machta lo, and put the shovel of coals on top of it, v'leil, and that's how we're going to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How will that be possible? How will he be able to get the Aster Rishonim? How will he be able to get the Machta full of Gecholim on top of his palm if his palms are full of Torahs? So Ritva says that it won't be put on by him. He'll have another Kohen. He'll fill up his palms with the Torahs, and another Kohen will deposit the Machta of Gecholim on top of the on top of his palms. That's one option. Another option is that he will put it on with his teeth. I were going to learn in a moment in the Gemara that isn't appropriate behavior. Says the Gemara, says the Ritva, that's only inappropriate behavior when you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and trying to use your teeth to maneuver is inappropriate. But here he isn't yet in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that wouldn't be considered inappropriate behavior. And that would be a way for the Kohen to get the Machta of Gecholim on top of the Ketores. But then there's another question. Isn't this a Chatzitza? He has to bring the Machta of Gecholim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But if his hands are full of the Ketores and the Machta of Gecholim are on top of them, why would the Ketores not be considered a chatzitza between his hands and the machta of Gecholim? So one pshat is that since there's no other way of getting the Gecholim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that isn't considered chatzitza. That's what Rabbi Yoshua saw answered. Another pshat that I saw, that in general, maybe that the Rosh teaches us, in general, maybe that's what Rabbi Yoshua's atzal meant, anything that's done L'tzarech avoida, and at this point the Gemara is assuming that this would be the best approach, is not considered a chatzitza. Says the Gemara, if that's what we're going to do, that his palms are going to be full of the k'toyres, and we're going to put the macht of Gecholim on top of that k'toyres. Ask the Gemara, kimati hasam, when he ultimately gets into the Kodesh Kedoshim, heichli eved, what should he do now? Should he use his teeth to remove the machta from the top of the k'toyres? Ask the Gemara, hashtof ne'melk bos v'dam ein esukim. This is not the way you would do something in front of a regular king. That this is not appropriate behavior. Hilkach loyafsher, since there is no other option, and the Kivin Dalefsha, there is no other option how to get the Ketores and the Gecholim into the Beis Hamikdash, into the Kodesh Kedoshim, Ashk Avdin Ka'ashka B'Nasim, as we find at the end of Parashas Nosai, that the Nasim, when they brought, after the inauguration of the Mishkan, the Nasim brought Kabonis, and every Nasi, it says, Kaf Achas Asar Zav Mlei Ketores. So we already have a precedent to take k'toyres with a kaf, and therefore here too, that was the way that the k'toyres was brought into the base. That was the way the k'toyres was brought into the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara says, since there's no other option, this is the way we have to do it. So the Gvur Sari asks, why do we have to learn from the Nasim? We should learn, like the Gemara just said, since there's no other option, we have to use a kaf. So the Gvursari says that just because we can't come up with another option doesn't mean we're allowed to do it. The only time we're allowed to do something is if there's a precedent in halacha that allows us to do it. So here too, when only after we learn a precedent that the Nesim brought a kaf achas a sarzav mleik tyrus, so we see that the kaf was used to bring in the tyrus, that makes it permissible for us to come into the base of Mikdash carrying it that way. Coming up with the solution without a halachic precedent, says the Gvursari, is unacceptable. So we learned in the Mishnah, Notl samachta b'yamin, he took the yamachta with his right hand, there's a kaf b'smol, and the kaf full of tyrus in the left hand. Ask the Gemara, but isn't this a situation of yitziva ba'ara u'giyur b'shmei shemayim, that the citizen, that the person who is the citizen is down here, and the ger, the guest, is treated better? The kaf full of k'tiris is the purpose of the avodah on Yom Kippur, as we keep on repeating the k'tiris. And here what we're doing is we're treating the coals more with greater respect than we are treating the k'tiris. It should be just the opposite. So I saw a beautiful pshat in this words, Yitziva ba'ara v'giyur b'shmei shemayim. From Rav Mechel Mezalotshev, he says, if you are a yitziva ba'ara, if you look at your life in this world as if you are yitziva, this is where you belong, this is what you have to put emphasis on, the olam haza, then when you will come b'shmei shemayim, then after the person leaves the world, then you will be a giyura, you'll only be like a ger. The person who looks at his life in this world like he's a ger, so when he comes to the Olam Emes, he'll be yitziva, he'll have a great Olam Emes. The opposite is as well as true. So here we're learning that we took it in the left hand. Says the Gemara, why did we take the Ketaris in the left hand? Says the Gemara, Zum Ruba, Vezum Atas. There's more coals than there is Ketaris. And therefore we use the stronger hands for the coal and the weaker hand for the k'tiris. Rafilu, says the Gemara, Bezman, Shishneim Shavim, even when, as we're going to learn, someone has very large palms, and since they have very large palm, they're going to be taking in the k'tiris, they're going to be taking in a lot of k'tiris. Since by most kohanim, they're going to be taking more coals than k'tiris, that became the procedure. So I saw, here we clearly see that the way it was brought on Yom Kippur is that the Kohen Gadol had the coals in his right hand and he had the k'tiris in his left hand. What was the halacha all year round? So the Reb Chaim Brisker says that all year round that there were a lot of carried in the left hand. So he asks why all year round we don't have this complication. So why is there a halacha that's carried with the left hand? So Reb Chaim Brisker says a big chiddush. Reb Chaim Brisker says what our Gemara is teaching us, a much more fundamental halacha. He's saying that the left hand is that the halacha of the k'tiris, the carrying of the k'tiris to wherever you're carrying it, is not considered an avoida. And therefore, since it's not considered an avoida, it's not considered a problem if you do it with the left hand. All year round, furthermore, says the Migdash David, where there were two Kohanim doing this Avoida. On Yom Kippur, we're limited, as we keep on repeating, that everything had to be done strictly by the Kohen Gadol. But all year round, we had two Kohanim, one carrying the coals and one carrying the Torahs. So the halacha is, it could be that one was both were carried by the left hand. There's another question. The Torah says that whenever you take tyrus, you're supposed to put salt on it. So the question is, the Migdash David discusses, do you have to put salt on the tyrus that's used on Yom Kippur? So he held that you don't have to use salt on the tyrus that's used on Yom Kippur. The Mechas Chinuch disagrees. And Mechas Chinuch says that the din of Akal Kaban Chetakrav Melech, which also refers to the which refers to the Ketores as well, applies on Yom Kippur as well. And on Yom Kippur as well, there's a halacha you have to put salt on the Ketores before you take it into Kodesh Kedoshim. Says the Gemara, Ukemais Reb Shmuel ben Kimchis, that Reb Shmuel ben Kimchis had very large hands, and he had much Ketores. So now the question is, why when you have a kohen with such large hands, and maybe in such circumstances, they're going to be more Ketores than Gecholim, so why shouldn't we say under such circumstances that the Gecholim should be carried in the left hand and the Ketores in the right hand? Says the Gemara, even if there's more Ketores, it's still more difficult to carry the Gecholim. Because Zuchama, the Gecholim, the coals are hot, and the Ketores is cool, and obviously it's much harder to carry something hot than to carry something cold. Amar Lava Shmuel ben Kimchis, says the Gemara, but in the Sfasemis makes an interesting observation. The Sfasemis says it could be that if you have a Kohen Gadol with very large hands, and therefore you're going to have much Ketores, maybe you need to take more coals into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because you need more coals to burn all that Ketores. Says the Gemara, Amar Lav al Shmuel ben Kimchis, to demonstrate how large of Shmuel ben Kimchis' hands were, he was able to pick up with the palms of his hands four kabim. Vaymer, and he used to make the following statement, Kol HaNeshem Zerdu, the Gemara is going to explain what this means in a second, the Zerid Ima Ola Lagag, his was bigger than everyone else. What does that mean? Ikadamri Ba'arson. It means the food that his mother ate while she was pregnant. The food that a person eats when they're pregnant has a direct relationship with the size of the baby. And his mother ate very healthy food when she was pregnant. This type of food, this type of bran, is very healthy for a sick person, for a pregnant person, that the baby should be all right. Vikadamri, what it refers to is the shechva zera, the semen with which a woman becomes pregnant. There are millions of sperm there. And the sperm that was used to create Shmuel ben Kimchis was of excellent quality. Krebavur, the Revur Rami. Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Shmuel, that David says, V'tazreini chayel mechama. After David was saved from his enemies, he used the word V'tazreini chayel mechama. Ksiv, but there's a Pasuk in Tehillim which says very similar. V'tazreini chayel mechama. But here, the word V'tazreini is spelled with that extra aleph. What does that signify? Says the Gemara, Amad Abel Fnei Kodesh Baruch Hu Rebonei Shloilem, Zerisani, when you created me, you took a perfect sperm, and because of that, Zerisani, I came out very healthy. And that's pshat v'tazreini. Tazreini means to be strong. The zera that was used caused, the zera that created David HaMelech was a very strong zera. Says the Gemara, Amar Lav al Shmuel ben Kimchis, they said regarding Shmuel ben Kimchis, Pam Achas, Sipa Dvarim Im Arvi Echad Bishuk. One day, the Posh Pshat in the Gemara, as Rashi explains, it was Yom Kippur, and the king came to see what the Klal Yisrael. There's a very, very important matter to discuss with the king. And even though normally, of course, the Kohen Gadol would not leave the Azara, would not leave the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, but here, because it was the needs of Klal Yisrael were there, he left the Beis HaMikdash and spoke with this non-Jewish king. And a drop of saliva exited the mouth of this non-Jew, Al-Begodov, on the clothing of Yishmael. And we know that Chazal say that all Akim are treated like Zovim, and the spittle of a Zov, if it hits somebody, becomes Tomei. And therefore, Rav Shmuel ben Kimchis became disqualified to do the Avodah. And Tosfos in Masechet Chagiga points out that even though this rule that Nochrim are treated like Zovim is only Midrabbanan, but Tosfos says that whenever Chazal make a rule, they fashion it after the Torah. So since Midaraisa, if you had a real Zov, if his saliva were to hit a person, that person would become a full-fledged Tamei. So even though the Nochri is considered a Zov only Midarabanan, the same rule applies. And the Chazon Ish, furthermore, in explaining this Gemara, says that even if it's only his clothing that this saliva hit, we're talking about a situation where there is no other, where he had no other, clothing available, and therefore we had to find another kohen who had clothing fitting him available to do the avodah. Moreover, says the Minchas Chinuch, even if we'll want to apply, we just spoke about this concept in our previous year, the concept of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, over here we can't apply Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, because as we learned when we learned Masechta Pesachim, the concept of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur does not apply by Tumah Zov. So V'Nichnas Yeshevish Achiv, so his brother Yeshevav, what became his substitute to do the Avodah on that Yom Kippur, V'Shimesh Tachtav, and it turns out Ross Imat Shnei Kohanim Gedolim B'Yom Echad. Their mother had the schus to see two Kohanim Gedolim do the Avodah on one Yom Kippur. The Mefarshim explained, Rishonim explained, why was Yeshevav chosen? One pshat that they said was that he was the most, the simple pshat is that he was the most worthy person. Another pshat is, obviously, Rabbi Shmuel ben Pinchas was very upset that here he had the opportunity to do the avodah on Yom Kippur, and now he's losing that avodah. But he's not going to, he'll be less upset if it's at least his brother who's going to get a chance versus so else. Says the Gemara Shav Amro, Rabbi Shmuel ben Pinchas, there was another episode with Rishma B'Kinchas, the Pam Achas Yotzva Sipim Hegmain Echebeshuk, that one time he went out to speak with an important person in the street, V'nitzit Tsunami Pivah B'Godov, and again, some saliva hit his clothing, V'nichnas Yosef Echav, and his brother Yosef Ishimish Tachtav was a substitute, Rasa Ima Shneka Anim G'daylim B'Yom Echad, she saw two of her children at the same time. So the Tosfos Rit asks, why don't they choose Yeshevav again? So one Tarotzi says is that when this story happened, Yeshevav was no longer alive. Another pshat, it's interesting, almost different than what we just learned a moment ago, is that if it's going to happen on a regular basis that Yeshevav, his brother, is going to substitute him, it's going to start bothering him. So they were careful not to always use the same person. They rotated who would be his substitute, and like that, he won't feel so bad that he's losing his opportunity. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Shiva Banim Ha'ilo L'Kimchis. Kimchis, the mother of Yishmael, had seven sons, V'kulam Shim Shabakun G'dayla, and they all were Kayanim G'daylam. Amalei Chachamim, so the Chachamim asked her, Ma'asis, what did you do, Shizchus, that you became so worthy that you should have children who are Kohanim Gedolim. Amla, so she said, even indoors, where there's less of a concern of a woman going with her hair uncovered, I was an incredible tsnua, and I always had my head covered. Amla, there were many other women that did that, and they didn't have children that were Kohanim Gedolim. So it seems if we learn the Gemara simple, the Gemara hasn't answered the question why she was zoicha to that. So I saw that the Meiri, that the Mabit in his Sefer Basil Kim explains that what Kimchas said was that I was careful with all mitzvahs. It wasn't that she was only careful with this. I was careful with all mitzvahs. And on top of being careful with all mitzvahs, I was also particularly careful about tznius. So the combination of an individual being careful with all mitzvahs and also being careful with tznius is what made her worthy to have all her children be Kohanim Gedolim. So the question, of course, is, why are we so quick to assume that the reason that all these brothers were Kohanim Gedolim was because of the mother? Maybe it was because of the father. So the simple pshat that I saw is that they did not have all the same father. So it couldn't be the father that was the one that was the reason that they were Kohanim Gedolim, because they didn't have the same father. But all these seven individuals had the same mother. Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada suggests is that the Yerushalmi says that b'schus tznius zoichem kuna gedolim. They knew that it's tznius that brings that one should have children or Kohanim Gedolim. And therefore, it must be that the schus, that they're all kind of kedalim, come from the mother, not from the father. Another pshat is that if the father was such a great personality, so then why wasn't he a kohen gadol? It was only the children that were kohen gadolim. So if the father wasn't such a great person, we can understand that the children were great, and the reason they were great, as we're learning now, is because they had such a wonderful mother, and that's what caused that they should be kohen gadolim. But if it was caused the father, then the father himself should have been a kohen gadol. So here our Gemara teaches us that b'tzchus tznius, one is zoicha to have children are kohanim gedolim. There's a very famous medrash that Das Kanim brings in the Parshas Korach, that Oyn ben Peles originally joined with the Das Korach to rebel against Moshe. And then when Korach came to gather his people to go dispute Moshe Rabbeinu, she stood by the door of their home. She told Oyn ben Peles, you go to sleep. She stood by the door of the home, and she uncovered her hair, and therefore they all ran away. So whenever I learned this Gemara, whenever I learned that Das Kanim, I have a question. Here we have people who have no problem rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu, and because she uncovers her hair, they're so religious, they're going to run away. So the posh pshat is that one has nothing to do with the other. They were, on one hand, very religious, and of course they would never stand in front of a woman whose hair was uncovered, but on the other hand, they really believed that what they were doing in rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu was the right thing to do. But the Masham has a different pshat. The Masham says that what was their claim to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Kulam Kedoshim. Everybody could be a kohen gadol. So why did you go choose and pick that only your brother Aaron should be the kohen gadol? But our Gemara just taught us, says the Masham, that in order to be a kohen gadol, you have to be excellent tznius. She who was sitting there without her hair covered, obviously is not careful about tznius. So she and her family are certainly not candidates for the kohen gadol. And therefore they said, you can't be part of our group because you're certainly not a candidate for kohen gadol. Why? What's the midah sheconneged midah batznius that makes the one should have children who are kohanim gadolim? So I saw that the pshat is that tznius represents that a person, as the pasuk says, the Maral explains this, that kol kvudah basmelech panima. Tznius represents that a woman is not out there, she's b'tznius. So a person, an individual who mother is so careful b'tznius, that person who's so careful with tznius is zoicha that she should have a son who goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the most private place in our entire religion. It's the Kodesh HaKadoshim that's only entered once a year by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We know that when a carbon mincha is brought, the way the Karban Mincha is brought is that a koimitz, a fistful of the ingredients, and we'll speak about that more in a moment, of the kmitza are burnt on the mizbeach, and the shrayim, the rest of the ingredients, are given to the kohanim to be eaten. Says the Gemara, and the Gemara now is going to discuss Hilchus Kmitza, because Hilchus Kmitza are very connected as we discussed earlier in the shir, to Hilchus Chfina, how the Kohen Gadol picked up the Ketores. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says regarding the Kemitza, V'heir mimenu b'kumtzor, shlo yasem mida limdod kaimitz. A Kohen who's going to do the void of Kemitza should not just prepare a cup or a pan that has the size of his kmitza, he has to do kmitza with his hands. Ibailuhu. So now they asked, if that's the halacha by kmitza, they asked, Mashi yasmid l'chfina. What's going to be halacha by chfina? Could the kohen gadol measure his palms and determine how much he needs for the chfina on Yom Kippur? Or does he have to do with the actual palms? Hasam, do we say by the kmitza, where the Torah G'dosha says the ksib b'kamtzoy? So the Torah is very specific that the kmitza has to be done with the palms of the kohen hand. Aval hacha, by Yom Kippur, the like ksib b'chafnav, where the Torah doesn't use the word b'chafnav, so we don't have to use the actual hands. Ella, There is no requirement that he actually use his hands to do the chfina. And just like by kamtzoy, certainly it has to be done with the hands of the kohen. Here too, chfina must be done with the hands of the kohen. Tashma, let's go back to what we learned in our Mishnah. V'kach ha'isa meidasa. The Mishnah said v'kach ha'isa meidasa. Mai, what does the Mishnah mean to say v'kach ha'isa meidasa? Shimrotza las midach firis le'isa. That if the kohen gadol wants, if the kohen gadol who does the chfina wants to buy a keli that will be the measure of his palms, he can make such a keli and use it to gather the k'tiris. So isn't that a raya that it may be done like that on Yom Kippur to do chafina? Says the Marloi, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Rather, hachikam, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kacha yechoyz v'chayfnoi, he would, after he came into the Beis HaMikdash, as we discussed extensively early in the shiur, with the kaf full of k'tiris, he would pour that kaf back into his palms, lefnim, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shmamina. So says the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to understand the Mishnah, this is actually a question that we're going to discuss in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Mem Tes, Amun Aleph. That did the Kohen have the tires put back in the palm of hands or not? So isn't our Mishnah, the way we're interpreting the Mishnah now, the way we're explaining the Mishnah now, clearly a proof that it was done a second time? Isn't the Shmamino, and isn't this clearly a Raya, the Chayfin v'Chayzer v'Chayfin? Says the Gemara, Dilma, Shimrat Shalasis Mida Isa. Maybe what the Mishnah means to say that you can make a keli to fit the tires. So what's going on here? So as all the Mefarshim explain, we want to use the words of our Mishnah of the Kachos Midasa as an indication. It could be an indication that you could use a keli to hold the k'tiris instead of doing chfina with your hands. It could be an indication that you do chfina twice. But since we don't know how to accurately explain our Mishnah, so we can't say definitively that it's either explanation. Since we cannot definitively say that it's either explanation, we cannot halachically say what to do because we don't know how to explain our Mishnah. Or, says the Gemara, there's even another way of explaining the Mishnah. That the coin has to be, coin God has to be very careful that it should be exactly the size of his palms. We're going to discuss this more in Amud Beis of Hashem, not more, not less. So the question that we began with, can you use a keli to do chfina, figure out how much your palm, the kohen gadol's hands hold, and make a keli with that amount, and that's how you do the carrying of the k'tiris? We don't know. We know it can't be done by the kmitza, chfina, we don't have an answer. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara goes back to the kmitza. The Torah says, meloi kansai, yocha mevuritz, that when he's taking out a fistful of from the Korban Mincha, he could take out some that's sticking out from the two sides of his hands. Tamaloymer bekamtzoy. It has to fit in the fist of his hand. Li bekamtzoy. If we only had the pasuk bekamtzoy, yocha filu barashi atzmeisav. You shouldn't have to fill up the entire fist. Tamaloymer meloy kamtzoy. You have to do it the way it's done properly, which means, says the Braisa, Haketzat, you take the Kayin, takes his three middle fingers, al pieces yodai on top of the palm of his hand, for kaimitz, and that's how he takes out a kaimitz from the pan full of the Korban Mincha. Now, when we speak about a Korban Mincha, most Korban Minchas are really just loose ingredients, flour. On top of the flour, there's levoina, and the flour and oil are mixed together. There's levoina. The halacha is that before the kohen approaches to do the kmitza, he pushes the levoina to the side, to one side of the pan, and then he does kmitza from the other side of the pan where there is no levoina, takes that kmitza with all the levoina that was on that pan, and like that, he burns on the mizbeach, and as we said earlier, the rest they'll be able to eat. However, there are certain Korban Mincha, Michas Machlas, Michas Macheshes, that there the flour and the oil are baked, fried, before the kmitza is done. And obviously, when you're dealing with a granular, it's easier to do kmitza than when you're doing, even though the Torah says, posa is oisam pitam, we crumble this cake that we baked, it still has pieces. And since it has pieces, it's much more difficult to do kmitza without where you get a perfect fit, that your entire palm should be full of the carbon mincha, but none of it should be sticking out from the sides. The Gemara Masechta Menachos Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph actually brings a machlokes, what is machvas or what is macheshes. Rabbi Yosef Glil explains that machvas is a frying pan that doesn't have a cover on top of it, and a macheshes does have a cover on it. According to Chanina ben Gamliel, a machvas is a flat frying pan, and a macheshes is like a deep frying, is when you deep fry. So again, it doesn't, for our discussion is concerned, it doesn't make a difference. Here you have pieces of the Karban Mincha, so it's much more difficult to do the kmitza that it should be the exact same amount. And therefore, says the Braisa, Moicha begodle memala betzboya ketana. So if you're going to have pieces sticking out from your hand, from the two sides of your palm, you use your thumb to shave off the pieces that are sticking up on that side, and you use your pinky to clear off the pieces of the kmitza that's sticking out from that side. And says the Mishnah, says the Braisa, Vizu avoid the kosh shabbi migdash. This is the most difficult avoidus. And the Rashi explains, the Gemara doesn't mean to say it was the most difficult avoider. It was one of the difficult avoidus to be able to do it exactly correctly, correctly. And the Brisk Rav, in fact, says, why does the Gemara go out of its way to say it's avoider kosher shebe migdash? Because if you could use your other hand to clear off the parts that are sticking out, it wouldn't be difficult at all. But explains the Brisk Rav, clearing out the extra part that's sticking out is part of the avoid of the kmitza. And since it's part of the avoid of the kmitza, as we discussed earlier in the shir, all avoidus that were conducted in the Beis HaMikdash had to be done with the right hand. So you have to clear the kmitza, not with your other hand, with your left hand. You have to clear it with your right hand. And therefore, similarly, says the Chazanish, you can't ask another kohen to clear it for you. That's part of the avoid that the kohen who does the kmitza, this is the way the kmitza is done, and that's why it was difficult. Ask the Gemara Zuhi, is this a difficult avoider? The Sulai, there are no other difficult avoiders. Ask the Gemara Va'ika Malika, the Malika, where the kohen has to use his fingernail to pierce the neck and including the bone of the back of a bird that's brought as a carbon, that's why it's a difficult avoider. That's one pshat Tosfos gives. Other Rishonim explain that the kohen would hold the bird in his right hand, and even though he's holding the bird with his right hand, he was also supposed to use the fingernail of the finger on the right hand to pierce the bird. That made it very complicated. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Hayeka Chafina, as we spoke about, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, on Daf Memtes in Mitzvah Shem, that it was a very difficult avoider to do properly. Says the Gemara, the way to understand what we just learned is, Ela Zui Mi Avoidus Kosh Shebe Megdash. It wasn't the only difficult avoider, it was amongst the difficult avoiders that were done in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Boy Rabbi Shu Ben Azor, if the kohen does kohmitz, as we said, he sticks the three fingers into the pan that has all these ingredients, and the mincha goes in to his palm, but some of the mincha goes in between his fingers. Mahu. How does the halacha look at that? And as Tosfos explains, the Torah HaKadoshah, when it speaks about kmitza, says, v'komatz ha-kohen. So maybe carbon mincha, if any of the carbon mincha gets in between the fingers, that isn't considered the kohen, the kametz hakohen, that you did kmitza. And therefore, how do we look at that? Or on the other hand, we could say that maybe it is part of the kmitza and should be put on the mizbeach. Amra papa, the gavoy, anything that's towards the palm of the hand, loy tabay loch, is certainly Vade Kaimitzu, is part of the Kaimitz. Devaroi, anything that's sticking out of the fingers, Leute Beiloch, is also not a question. Devade Shraim, who is considered Shraim, which is the part that's eaten by the Kayin and not burnt on the Mizbeach. The question, Kita Beiloch, our question, says the Gemara, the Beini Beini, the part that's exactly between the fingers, not sticking up one way or another way. Mai, how does the Halacha look at that material? Amar Rav Yochanan, Hoda Pashto, Rav Shu Ben Uzoi, Beina Benayim, that the area of the Beina Benayim Sofik Ninu. So of course, all the Rishonim ask, what is the Gemara saying, Sofik Ninu? We know it's a Sofik. We started with a question. What does the Gemara mean to say, Beina Benayim Sofik Ninu? So Tosfos explains what the Gemara means to say is that sometimes, often, usually, the Gemara asks a question, and the Gemara comes up with an answer. Says the Gemara, this question, even after asking the question and attempting to come up with an answer, you should know, Sofik Ninu. It remains a Sofik. We don't know the answer. So says the Gemara, if we don't know, what should we do? Hechi Ovid, what should we do? Amar Rav Chanina, Makta Kamsul Chudei. First take the part that's in the palm of the Koyin, Tchila, burn it. V'hodar, and take the part that's Beina Benayim. Says the Gemara, why specifically should it be done this way? The Amr Bei Menayim Bereisha, if we're going to suggest that we should burn first the part that's between the fingers, maybe Shiraim Nenu, maybe they're halachically considered Shiraim. And the halacha is, Havalai Shiraim Shechoshu Bei Kemitzah L'Akhtarah, that we're going to be missing some of the Shiraim before the burning of the Kemitz. V'omamar, and the Gemara Masechta Menachos Daf Tesa Manalv teaches us that Shraim Shechosru Ben Kemitzah L'Akhtarah, if I don't have all the Shraim anymore, I'm Maktin L'Aim's Kaimitz. As we keep on repeating, you have the Kaimitz, which is burnt on the Mizbeach, and you have the Shraim, which is eaten by the Kohanim. The halacha is that all of the Shraim have to be intact before as you burn the Kaimitz. But if I'm going to burn the material that's between the fingers, the Beina Binayim material, so maybe we're going to be burning Shirayim, and that will turn out that I burnt Shirayim before I did the Akhtara, and that's unacceptable. And as the Chazanish says, not only is it unacceptable to burn the Shirayim, or do any that the Shirayim should be missing any of it before we do the Koimitz, the Aloch is you can't even do it simultaneously. Ihachi, says the Gemara, so what are we saying? First burn what we know for sure is the Kaimitz, and after we burn what we know is for sure the Kaimitz, then we'll burn the area, the food that's Beina Benayim. Says the Gemara, but now we have a new problem. Hashtinami Ikrikan, why is this not considered that Kol Shemenu Leishim, that anything that's supposed to be burnt in Mizbeach, the part that's not supposed to be on the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to burn. The Torah says, so if this is considered Shraim, it's not supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So why are you giving us advice to put it on the Mizbeach, even if you're putting it on the Mizbeach after you put it on the Koimitz? Still, it may be Shraim, and Shraim may not be put on the Mizbeach. I'm Rav Yudim Rebbe Shimon Ben Pazi. I'll tell you what you should do. The Makdalei L'Shem Eitzim. That you should put it on and you should have a mind that if it belongs on the Mizbeach because it's Koimitz, fantastic. I'm putting on the Mizbeach because that's where it belongs. If it doesn't belong there, I'm using it as firewood. And the halacha is the firewood can be put on the Mizbeach. And where do we find this? We find Rebbe Elazar gave us this advice. The Tanya Rebbe Elazar Omer. The Torah says that if you have something that's not supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and how is there a way that you could put it on the Mizbeach? Says Rebbe Elazar, you can't be put on the Mizbeach for the purpose as if it was something that's supposed to be put in the Mizbeach. You should have in mind that you're putting on for Eitzim. Rebbe Elazar is speaking about a case where you had every Chatos and every Oila got mixed up. And we don't know which is the Chatos and which is the Oila. The Oila we know has to be completely burnt on the Mizbeach. The Chattis, this may be meat that's supposed to be eaten by the Kohanim. If it's meat that's supposed to be eaten by the Kohanim, it doesn't belong on the Mizbeach. What should you do? So Rebbe Elazar says, take all of the Avrim, put them all on the Mizbeach, and now what you should do is, after you put it all on the Mizbeach, you make a Tanai. And you say, if these are Avrim, whatever's Avrim Oila belongs on the Mizbeach, and whatever's every chatos, I'm not putting on the mizbeach l'reich nechoyach for the purpose as if they belong in the mizbeach. Rather, I'm putting them on the mizbeach because I'm putting them for fuel, for burning. So that's what I'm going to do here as well. Says the Gemara, this is a great solution. Hanichler Belezer. This is a great solution according to Belezer. What you could do with the material that's between the finger of the Kohanim. El Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, my Ikalameima, what are the Rabbanon who don't subscribe to saying, do this tonight, what are they going to say? Ara Mary, the Kamtsu Shmani. We have to be careful that the Kohanim who did the Kamitsa had fat fingers, and since they had fat fingers, the fingers are right next to each other, and that prevents any material from getting in between the fingers. Says the Gemara, Hash the Dosis Lahachi. Now that we've said this, we don't have to say that we should burn first the Kemitza, and then burn the Bein HaBeinayim, and then have in mind that if it belongs in the Mizbeach, great, and if not, it should be firewood. Rabbi Lezer Nami will agree, L'chatchila, the Kamtzi Shmaini, we should use people who have fat fingers to do the Kemitza. Bein HaBeinayim Pasha, Rav Macha, Tzupazer, V'chishe, B'chafinas, Chaveroi, Simen. Says the Gemara, Boi Rav Papa, Bein HaBeinayim Shemaloi Chofnov. We just spoke about the Kemitza. And now we go back to Masechta Yuma, where the Kohen Gadol has to do chfina. What happens if there's, what is the halacha on the pieces of k'tiris that come between the fingers of the Kohen? Mikab says to my mic, by the way, let's understand what is the question Rapapa is asking. Igam meloy meloy mehasam, if he learns the halacha, we learn the gzeir shava, connecting chfitza and kmitza and chfina. So hanuhach, the discussion we just had by Kemitza will have the same discussion by Chfina. So what's the Gemara? So it depends. Do we learn the Gzeres Shava or not? Says the Gemara, Papa Hachi Boilei. Rapapa meant to ask the following question. Meloi Chofna of a heavy binan, that you have to take a Meloi Chofna of the Ketaris, V'ikah. And if you take even extra, it's fine. Adem V'lokach for heavy binan. The Torah requires that we only take what you're obligated to take. For halakha, and if you don't take what went in between the fingers, then if you didn't have intention that should be the ketairus, then you weren't yoitza the mitzvah. In other words, the way to understand the Gemara is the Torah says v'lokach meloi chafnov. So if the term v'lokach refers to the meloi chafnov, so then the b'nei b'nayim, the part that's not in your palm, are not subject to burning. And the ketairis, which was taken coincidentally, then would not only coincidentally, is missing. And the ketairis, but if you have to take it, you didn't mean to take that part, so you weren't mekayim the mitzvah of a lokach. So from here we see that you only mekayim the mitzvah of a lokach when you intend to do a lekicha. And therefore, the Gemara is saying that if the Torah requires that everything you take with whatever that must be taken has to be taken with intention, here, if I didn't intend to take the part that's between the fingers, I'm not mekayim the mitzvah. So we see from here, v'lokach means that it's done with intention. So based on this, the Bikurei Yaakov says that if somebody on Sukkos, very anxious to do the mitzvah, so the zman, the earliest man l'chatchila to take the dal minim on Sukkos is by the nets. So you'll have a person holding the dal minim in his hands before the nets, so that the moment the nets comes, he should be able to make a brocha. Is that acceptable or not? Says the Bikurei Yaakov, not. Because the Torah says, v'lakachtam l'chem b'yom rishon. The Torah says that the mitzvah of taking the dal minim on the first day of Sukkos involves a l'kicha. And something in your hand that you didn't do a deliberate lakicha, we just learned, is not considered for lakachtam. The Bikurei Yaakov, the Vinyan Shloimeh and Rabbi Yosef Engel disagree, and they say that lakachtam doesn't mean that you have to deliberately picking it up. Holding it is also considered good enough. Amra Papa Pshitali. To me, it's Pashut. Meloi Kamtzu, when the Torah speaks about doing kamitza by Karban Mincha, it's going to come to Imchi, like people do kamitza. Says the Gemara, instead of putting your palm on your slant and filling it up with the Kmitza, when you do a kmitza karban mincha, the person used it, put his fingers in directly, and like that scooped a kmitza into his palm. Or mahu, is that considered a valid kmitza? Or milmatal mala, he stuck his hand in, and like that he flipped his fingers with the karban mincha into his palm. Is that a valid kmitza? Minetz todim, if he, the way he did the kmitza was not by scooping it, he just put his hand in and then grabbed what's there, not no scooping. Is that considered a valid kmitza? And all the shaila says the Gemara teiku. Amra papa pshitali, meloy chafnov. As we've been discussing in our entire shiur, on Yom Kippur, you have to do meloy chafnov. So the way it has to be done, k'dechafni inchi, the way people take things in their palm. You put the two hands into the basket that will have the tyrus, put your two hands next to each other, and scoop up the two palmfuls of tyrus. Bayer Papa, Chaf and Barash Yetzbayis, the same question. If you did chafina by sticking in the front of the tips of your fingers, and pushing it into the palm, mahu, is that considered valid chafina? Milmata milmala, if you put your hands into the tyrus and like that did the chafina. Mahu, is that a valid chafina? Chafin biyadzu biyadzu. The proper way of doing chafina is with the two hands next to each other. At first he took one palmful, then he took another palmful, and only afterwards the kavan zaytzel zeh. Then he puts the two palms next to each other. Mahu, what's the halacha in all of these circumstances? And the Gemara remains with a teiku.